I'm excited, finally getting to talk to my old friend Drifter, aka William Galbraith, but we never know him by that term. We know him by Drifter, and the name you earned it well.
I don't understand how, but my daughter gave it to me a long time ago.
When did she start calling you that?
When we were drifting across the country,
Yeah.
and they got homesick and wanted to come back to Oregon, and started calling me her drifting dad.
You've got so many stories, I tell you, and that's why I'm delighted to finally get a few moments here that we can get these stories and your life on tape here so that people can listen and enjoy it as I have over the years. The amazing grace of God that has worked in your life. I'm just it's so fun to listen to you and be around you because I can't think of anybody else that's utilized all the grace of God there is in your life. How many times have you died? I've lost track.
Well, yeah, I know of 15, and
15 times.
That is just mind-boggling. I mean, because even though I know, what happened, even though people go, "Oh, that's impossible," I mean, and even I even find myself at the point, how can somebody do that? And common sense tells me, okay, because when on the screen you flatline, you're dead. I mean,
You're dead.
that's it. You're gone. And they bring you back. And they bring you back within 3 minutes. Maybe you're lucky and you don't have any brain damage. I often wonder because apparently I've had some brain damage. There ain't no doubt about that.
Well, not so, it, there may be, but it's not recognizable. I mean, the Lord is still able to communicate through you. You're amazing. I have to laugh at all the times that you've shared with me. Probably the most humorous story that near death that goes along with your name was the time you told me you were sleeping in a dumpster and it got awakened early morning.
Oh, that was an awakening.
Well,
I
not only for
you.
you, not only for you, but
Well,
the truck driver looking you in the eye, ready to dump the load in the rear of his truck.
It was a real, you're laying inside and you hear, the beep, 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 it's backing up. And then all of a sudden, you realize, I mean, you have the metal contact to the, there's a dumpster you're in. I mean, and then you're being lifted. I'm being ascended into heaven. and you coming out of the top of it, He was yelling, "Hey man, hey, what are you doing?" You know, and this guy's looking at you as you're going over the end of the truck. You know, what are you doing in there? And then,
oh man, when do you recall first acknowledging Christ as, or receiving Christ or confessing Christ in, as your life? When do you remember back as a boy, or did that occur when you came to the church where I was pastoring or serving? What did you recall?
Well, I think there were several times in my life that that happened. I mean,
uh-huh.
As a kid and growing up in Denver, I do remember, you know, going to Catholic church. And communion and singing, in the choir, you know, because that was a kind of honor thing type thing. And then I remember the nuns that didn't like me when I would be me. That didn't work well. That's when I got hit with, well, geez. Well, I mean, that had to be after I had the rheumatic fever, because rheumatic fever.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember I was about two, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
I remember looking up my dad and him holding me in, you know, in a tub with ice cubes and telling me that was going to hurt him more than it does me. I'm going, you say that? You know,
right. How does that work?
This ain't, and that you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I would think 15 deaths or flat lines, as you describe, I would think that you pretty well know God is in your life. There's somebody definitely not letting go of you.
And you know what is the real sad part of it is knowing now that mm-hmm. there is somebody else, you know, not mm-hmm. letting go of me. But mm-hmm. for all the times I went through this, I'm thinking, I just came back. All my programming was, you know, okay, well, you're a fighter. You did that on your own. And then finally realizing that, hey, there's somebody else that was to you, which mm-hmm. I call daddy. I'll be true daddy.
Your true daddy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you first started to use that term. You were in one of our groups, and we were doing a program. I remember focused on the reality of Father God as our as intimate Father, and I appreciated you. You would begin to you'd pray with us, and you'd say, well, Daddy this or whatever, Daddy that, and it was really endearing. And I know you still do. That's how you look at Father God. He's truly your Father.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, I mean, my dad was everything to me. That just is real, because I know be my brother. We talk about the fights that me and my dad used to get into, and he'd be beat me, but how can you love somebody who beats you, you know, like that? I don't know, man. I mean, I love you. You know, I can't tell you.
Sure.
You know?
Well, that's it. Some people would say, what a terrible relationship. But on the other hand, you saw through that and was seeing something in him that was trying to reach out to you as his boy. And that, you know, that endears you to him. He was caring for you in his own way. He may not know how to do it. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, how he was kind of misled in his life, but but he was doing his best to leave me. I mean, you remember what I told you here not long ago about digging up the it's not a septic tank, it's cesspool, it's for the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Strictly, it's only about 3 foot deep. It's not a septic tank. And I did that because me and my stepsister had a falling out, and you know, she was always trying to supersede me because she was older than me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she didn't. I don't know, I can't remember why, but I was going to get back to you. And so she was gone to school one day, and I dug the top off of the tank and outside of the kitchen sink and camouflaged it with limbs and stuff. And when she got off of the bus that afternoon, I'm looking over and we had a basement, and the well to the window. Hey, Bean, come over here. You gotta see what I found. And she walked right over that, and my mom was doing the dishes. And all of a sudden, she watched her daughter just drop out of sight. And so she goes running out the back door. I'm rolling on the ground. I mean, this is funny to me. I'm just, mom is gagging and puking, trying to drag her daughter up out of this hole. I mean, it stinks. I mean, it stinks like a septic tank. I mean, full of everything comes from the kitchen sink, but I mean, it's horrible. And she wanted to just stop and beat me. I know that. I think she'll be right there. But her focus was to get, you know, her daughter out of the cesspool and get her inside. Oh, God, the house is just horrible. And you're streaming all that stuff up there in the bathtub and get her to wash her off. And I remember I wasn't going in the house. I mean, you know what? No way. I mean, mom is an Irish woman, and she was redhead.
Oh, man.
She would beat me. God, that woman was, she was love. 100%, but boy, she was hate 100% too. when you crossed her, that was not a good thing. I decided I was going to stay at night. We'll wait for, you know, we said, you wait till your dad comes home. He said, no more. So I decided to spend the night in the in house, waiting on dad to come home. When he come home, he decided to come home late because he was out drinking. So I don't know, it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And finally he came home and I'm going, man, it's about time. I'm hearing the rats and everything creeping around in the, you know, in the hen house, and it's dark, and the chickens, they ain't talking, but you hear things move. So anyway, I get up to the back door, and says he's going in. After he went in, and I hear Mom say to him, "You ain't gonna believe what that little son did today." He's going, "Peg, give me a break. I haven't just, I haven't even got home or got through the door yet. I mean, what do you do now?" And she's told him. And he started laughing. That was not a good thing between me. But I knew it was my cue. I was okay to go through the door, go to bed, because I wasn't going to be that night.
Yeah. So Dad was on your side.
Yeah, I mean, he's always, now I thought about this after you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
He was always trying to tell me best he could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I remember coming home with problems, and he'd have to tell me, you know, and my dad would defend me no matter what. I mean, whether I was right or wrong.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, he would go to bat for me. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he realized that being me early, I mean, I have to give him credit for this. Just now realizing that. He realized I can't fight this kid's battles. I'm going to have to teach him how to fight. I am no longer going to be in it. He is, you know. So that's what he did.
Now, you were there with, as I said earlier, involved with in our men's programs that we were doing at that church there. And you were really, I could see some transformation happening in your life then. You were starting to influence other people, developing some leadership, doing great things. Do you remember that, those days, how you were changing and how God was just beginning to show himself through you, your life, as miserable as it had been, and the things that we would say, there's a word, we are deplorable, but God was using you, and you had a relationship with people that was unique, and people could, I would say, don't talk to me, go talk to Drifter, when guys would come to me and say, you know, I got this issue, or I've had this background, and I just knew that you could understand them. You walked their walk, you'd been there, and you knew how to relate to them and bring the love of the Father into their lives, or speak it into their lives. So you had a great ministry. As time went on, you actually were working for the church in the IT department, and so you were close at hand every day and mixing with the staff, and just really grown in a lot of ways and having a powerful influence. And unfortunately then, as just before I left or retired from church, you left and took on a job to Texas, and we lost contact for about, 4 years or so? 4 or 5 years?
Probably good 5 years by the time I got back in touch with you.
Yeah. So I find out about somewhere in 18 that you're back home here, and we reconnected. had lunch together and kind of reconnected our conversation and our influence with each other. And you began to listen to some of the stuff I was passing along. We were talking in those days, even at that time, I was starting to really be strongly convinced about how God lives in us, Christ lives in us, and we are his expression, his life through us. How did you respond to that at first? I remember it didn't take long that you grabbed onto it, but what in your mind what were you hearing as we started to have that conversation together?
Well, at first, I have to admit, all the programming was speaking, but this book, there's something not right with this, but at the same time, that was my mind. But in my heart, my soul, and I guess my mind too, that was in conflict, because you're going, no, this is truth, and the battle, I guess, it began. But then now it's to the point where I understand. There are the two different the gospels and the programming, which is so sad that we have been, so many years programmed with. It's just unbelievable. But yet, the freedom that we have is just so free. It's unreal. And when you put those side by side, you don't have a problem choosing which one you're going to be on, which one you're going to go down.
Now, you mentioned the two Gospels, and just for a background for our people that are listening here, there really is two ways of understanding the revelation of God. And traditionally, and by the way, when we're saying there's two Gospels, we can go back to Paul, who really initiates the idea that there's an alternate Gospel. And we understand that he was talking more to the realm of the Jews trying to still hold on to their rules and traditions. But in reality, that's the same thing that Christianity has done. We've just added Jesus to it. And that became the gospel that you heard and grew up with, I grew up with and preached and taught. And essentially, it was a gospel that said that, God sent his son and saved us from our sins, but we still had to earn our holiness. We still had to work and please him. And we were to hold on until we got to go to heaven. And so the idea that we're so separate, our lives are distinct from God. We try to seek him and find him and do all the religious stuff that helps us feel like we're pleasing him. But that's not the truth of the real gospel.
What is really... remember really one particular thing that was always irritating me was, you can do nothing outside of Christ to earn God's favor.
Right.
So what am I going to do? And how am I going to do this? If I can do nothing by living, supposedly this perfect life, if I cannot do that, How the hell am I supposed to do it?
I mean, yes. It's a contradiction, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
At one hand, the message was everything is free. God saved you, and you can't do anything about it. But on the other hand, the message was you've got to walk in line. You've got to resist all temptation. You've got to persevere. So you had this contradiction going on all the time. We understand God's love is free, but on the end, we've got to do all kinds of things to earn it. And that was the subtle message. So, wow, when you say freedom, you're correct in that we just need to be who we are. God lives in us. We're his vessel. He's in charge, and we're free to be. And if he's going to change us, he's going to change us. It's up to him.
And I realize, you know, I don't know. I guess I flip flop. At one point in time, I think I'm doing okay, and then the other time, I mean that old self, you refer to it and call it. I know that goes back to the surface, and believe me, I enjoy being that old ass.
Yes. Yeah, it has a way of coming back over the wall, as it were, and enticing us, and it's really false. But oh yeah, we are so easily prone to fall back into the memories and old tapes.
Yeah, but and because I think what that programming I'm going, well, that is the real me. The real me. Well, no. The real me is, yeah, I am living in Jesus. Jesus is living in me. And, boy, for I lived so many years with that one that it believes it's still the real me.
Yeah, and most of it was pretending, wasn't it? You're pretending to be spiritual. You're kind of in a make believe world of this is what God wants you to do, and you're trying to do it.
Well, yeah, I would have to say 90% of the old me was in a pretend world. I was still wandering around going, I don't know. Well, you know, let's test the waters. Let's do this and find out what happens.
I remember at a breakfast most recently, about a couple of years ago, that when we got back together and we were having conversation, and I said to you, just be you. And your light, your face lit up, and it was like you had heard something, you know, like you'd won a lottery for $1 billion or something. And I just remember how encouraging and uplifting that was to you. And that as Jesus lives in you, you can just be yourself. He's the one living your life. And like all of us, you're still in the old mode of, I've got to change, I've got to stop this, I've got to quit doing this. And let him be.
Yeah, it's so nice to just be able to know that I wake up, I know... Whether I'm in a good mood, bad mood, or whatever. I think just recently I sent you something from Daily Bread about rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all things.
Yeah.
But that isn't normally my disposition when I first wake up. I guarantee you. I do try to, at some point in time in the day, get around to saying, "Daddy, thank you," because you are in control of everything. All our lives, worldwide, you are providing for whatever the needs are. The biggest need being yourself. Making people realize that through whatever means. I mean, it used to bother me so bad because of starvation, hunger, torture, torment. Those things are just not right, but who am I? I mean, like Job, this is, where the hell were you when I laid the cornerstone of the world? I don't know, don't understand, but I do know that you do, and in the end, it's all gonna be so beautiful, it's unreal. I mean,
God is working, bringing everything, as He says, Romans 8:29, to the good. All of that that we see in the world, you know, the horrible things, God is not divorced from that. He didn't cause it, but He's in it, and He's bringing those things into a better reality, into the good, in some way, somewhere. If we have eyes to just see that, if we believe it and know that He's all in all, He's working in us, through us. This is His world, not ours. We're not just distant from Him. We're working as His, we are basically His vessels, and where we are allowing Him to inhabit and work through us, use us. And I know that, you know, we can say whatever we want about ourselves, how far off from the beam we think we are, and how wretched we think we are. But nevertheless, God is using that, and He's in that. That's another thing that Christianity stumbles over itself with, is that, oh no, if you're going to be usable to God, you've got to be absolutely perfect, pure, never cuss, swear, do bad things. God's too holy for us wretched beings for Him to live in. And see, that's where we get all confused. No, God's not worried about that. That's, He wants to use that and change it. That's part of His glory.
That would be, I think, an impossibility. I mean, how would you create a human being and give it free will and expect it to be perfect? there ain't no way. I mean, if you wanted a robot, create a robot. It's just like
God.
And all of His creation, I don't know of anything that is absolutely 100% identical. Then, you take identical twins, they're not identical. They are, quadruplets or whatever. They're all, they got something separates them different,
The uniqueness of each being, and that being is another expression of the Father, of the Daddy, who we live through and have our being. He's all in all, through all, in all. And we have We need eyes to see it and to accept it.
Right, and you know, and this goes back to like Abraham. Your offspring is going to be more than the sands of the sea or whatever. And each grain is different. I mean, each grain is different. Each individual is different. I mean, how many billions of people are on Earth now?
And yet,
how many billions have come and gone? And,
And yet, he tells us that we all share the same form. We jointly share the same form as Jesus. It, we all appear as him. He's living his life through each of us, billions and billions of different shapes and sizes and styles and characters and personalities, and that's Jesus. All the manifold ways that he expresses himself as himself and we as him. That's who you are, isn't it?
That's who I am, yes. And that is who everybody else is. It's just sometimes I... I really have a hard time comprehending that, looking and dealing with people. Well, I have to admit.
And
I'm sure they look at me and say, well, you should play Jesus.
And that's exactly the eyes that the world has. They don't have the eyes of faith or eyes that can see through and recognize Jesus. That's way most of Christianity, the other gospel, we're focused on appearance and what we think is necessary, what we think it should look like, right? We have in our mind a preconceived idea of what looks like Jesus, which, by the way, how do we know? No one has even seen him anywhere, see? But that's how inconsistent it is. We think we know what Jesus looks like, but none of us have ever seen him. So we're not, on the other hand, going to trust you when you say, well, I'm Jesus. No way. You can't be Jesus. So, yeah, it's really twisted. But you are. The Bible says you are. Paul says emphatically, your life is Christ. Christ lives in you. You have no other life. Galatians 2:20. That old life is dead with him. And you've been raised with him. You live by his faith. The life that you live by the faith of Christ. So it's his life working in you and living in you. And brother, as I look at you, I know you probably deal with this constantly because where you've had to go in your lifestyle, people look at you and say, phew, no way. But exactly wrong. Jesus is in you. He is working through you. And that's a powerful thing about God and his grace.
What I find now is I find people that are, there was a point in time, that I didn't have any problem with people not being attracted to me. But now it just seems like everybody is attracted to me, and I'm going, I don't understand this at all. I'm going, and I look in the mirror, and there ain't nothing changed. Well, I guess maybe God's answered somewhere. Maybe I'm not quite as ugly as I used to be. But
people are drawn to something that's to the natural eye, you can't see, but his spirit is there, and he's manifesting himself through you in every way. People say, well, how can God be in imperfection or things that look sinful or evil? Well, we can go through the Bible and look at a lot of examples of people that...
Yes, there'll be the whole Bible.
You know, just Paul himself, he was a terrible, wretched murderer. And yet he says to, I think it's to the Galatian people, you saw something in me. And that what they saw in him was Jesus. And it was a wonderment to them. They knew his past. They knew his tendency. They knew his character. But on the other hand, Paul says, you glorified Christ in me. In other words, you recognized Jesus living in me. Was Paul perfect? No. In fact, he goes to great lengths to show how imperfect a person he is. I'm the worst and chief sinners. In every way, he degrades himself. But on the other hand, he says, no, all of that means nothing because Christ lives in me. And Christ is able to take those. Yeah, he takes those things and shows off himself through them.
Yeah, I loved, you know, the last Sunday session. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I mean, I found myself going through that those questions, those 10 questions.
Mm. Okay.
And just out of mental. Mm-hmm. Thinking and programming, you're going, mm-hmm. yes. Well, yes. Yes. Well, I mean, do you think I'm a fool? Come on. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I realize at the end of all this, yeah. You're dealing with that, still dealing with that old program, simple. The questions are would you answer no? I mean, how could you answer no when you know when they are true, but is it whole totally different?
Yeah.
Gospel.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. There again. So
mm-hmm.
it is so contradictory to itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will open you up and cut you to slice you to death.
Now, for the sake of our listeners, Drifter's referring to a conversation that is recorded, and it's a video recording on Google, on YouTube, and if our listeners are interested, we can refer you to that date. It's I think it's July 11th, 2021 video recording, and in that accompanying material that went with it, we had a article on are you believing in another gospel, and there were 10 questions that would help you determine whether you are or not, and those 10 questions can be really revealing. They, as you said, Drifter, they help us see, all right, how much of this old deep programming are we still thinking and living by? And so, by the way, if anyone's interested, we can just write a note to me and DennisDeardorff@gmail.com, and I'll get you copies of that and refer you to it. But yeah, so you were flailed, you said. Catch you right open.
Yeah, I mean, any way you look at it, I mean, it's yes, but which side of the fence are you? You're answering yes to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you even know there's another side?
And yes, and that's that's our task, isn't it? I believe that there's a commission that falls on you when you see that other side, that revelation, and you see the other perspective. It's almost like God is saying, now I've shown this to you, I want you to share it with others. Help others get their eyes open to see it as well.
Share that freedom, rather than the bondage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So many people, they know, they've read, they've heard, and mm-hmm. been told, and they will stand there and quote you, and they don't even realize that they are programmed that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they will argue with you, and you're going, I'm just trying to. It just sets you free. I tried to get in a fight with you, Beth. Come on.
Yeah. So I know that you've shared this conversation and even passed on some of the materials that we've published. Is it kind of thrilling to see some of the responses?
The three girls that I sent you the reply.
Yeah.
In Africa, that is that was just. They have such a true open heart. I've been supporting these gals for over 20 years now, and.
Mm.
And that's what they believe. They mm-hmm. have to believe in God, Christ, to provide for them. When I first met the very first one, that they were having to live in the dump and eat out of the dump. I thought that shouldn't be. I've been in the streets and been there.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, one to three and then two kids, I am grown to be able to support over there. And they're not living in a dump. They're, at least they're living in some kind of a home over there paying rent.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful man.
But, geez, their faith is just, has always overwhelmed me because that's the only thing that they really have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because even believing in themselves, there ain't nothing there for them to do.
That's right. What a wonderful, wonderful way to express the joy of Christ across the waters, or even right here at home. I know you're getting opportunities right along the way in where you work, but we got to shut this off here a little bit. But I want to conclude by just asking: is your life worth living? I mean, obviously, you've had 15 different times to think about: do I go on or not? But is it knowing what you know and God in you? How do you look at life in general? Do you want to live some more?
Oh, I'd like to live up to 200 years and be able to do what what you really would like for me to do, and not so much what I want to do. I realize now. He's put a lot on my heart. A lot.
Yes.
And I know it's his will, but it's just I gotta wait for him to try to figure out put everything in place rather than me try to do it on my own.
That's right. Yeah, he's living this life, and let him, we just have the opportunity to say, okay, Daddy, what are you doing today? What's on your agenda, not mine? And watch the opportunities as they come along where he's wanting to glorify himself through us. Yeah, that's fun. That's exciting. I don't have to worry about, okay, I got to do this today, or if I don't do this, you know, share this or do this, then I'm going to feel guilty and I'm not going to please God. But wow, what bondage that is. God says, just be you and don't worry about it. Let me live my life through you. I'm the one I'm the one doing the work. You just agree to go along with me.
Yeah,
I really have it that way.
Oh gosh, you and me both. I mean, knowing that and that's the other thing is, okay, so I've died 15 times. Well, the fact, if you really want to get real about all this shit about dying, you ain't going to die. You're never going to die. You're never going to die. You just, I mean, one of these days, sure. I mean, as far as your earthly existence is considered, it's going to be non-existence.
Yeah. You just lose
that,
you still
continue to live.
That's right.
You ain't going to die.
Yeah. You dying is just losing this vessel, this body. But our spirit, our soul, we still go on. We still live as God. Yeah, that's exciting. Wow. Hey, brother, this has been, like I said at the beginning, it's been really a lot of fun for me to finally get the opportunity to sit down and just chat about your life and where you're going and what's happened. And I hope people who listen to this will be as encouraged as I have and seeing, like I said, the grace of God working in your life and how he's used you and all the experiences that you've experienced. I'll never match that. That's why I know he has a special place in his heart for you and what he has in mind working through your vessel, your life. So, man, grace on you. And thanks for doing this with me. Thanks for talking and sharing. And we'll probably do it again. Give an update.
Okay, not a problem, because I guarantee you, I mean, if you wanted a history of it, it would take several times. I mean, unreal for me.
Yeah.
And unreal for anybody else who wants to listen to it, too. I mean, you're going to say,
yeah, I really, I really think you need to write your story. And we all have a story, but yours is really a really good one. And who knows? Somebody might get this, the royalties off of a motion picture. the story of Grifter.
Wow. That would be interesting. I mean,
that would be something. I wonder who God would get to play your part. Thank you.
I don't know, man.
I think only you could play it. Well,
I think I would have to do that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for sharing with me. And go be the grace of God to others around you. You certainly are the example, and we'll catch you soon. All right.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Take care. Thanks, man.